Welcome to the Everything Podcast, the place for everything education. Whether you're a first-year teacher or a seasoned educator, our mission is to help others employ smart strategies in and out of the classroom.
We firmly believe that teacher burnout isn't inevitable. Part inspiration and part implementation, we discuss the why and how to make your classroom effective and sustainable.
We're your hosts, Danielle
and Nicole.
You're listening to the Everything Podcast, podcast episode 1.
In today's episode, we are going to talk about what exactly you should and should not be doing on your first day of school.
We're not just talking about the way to introduce yourself or what kinds of school supplies you should be requesting your students to buy. We're talking about the way that you first interact with those students and the way that you ask your students to interact with each other.
Can you think of any icebreakers that you had to do when you were a student that you just hated?
Many. Absolutely.
Like what?
I think perhaps it was just the trend at the time, but the human knot was a huge push in, I think, grades K through 8 in my school. So the teacher would ask us to stand up, We'd grab each other's hands, and we'd have to pull ourselves apart in the human knot.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that was the trust fall. That was always a common one as well. How about you, Danielle? What was a pretty common icebreaker you had to endure?
I always hated when we had to go around the room and introduce ourselves and like our name, but we had to do it with some sort of gimmick. Like you had to use a food word that started with the same first letter as your first name or something. Even as a student, I would sit there thinking, why? Why are we doing this?
I mean, the goal is for students to introduce themselves to their peers, to their teacher, and to hopefully have their teacher understand the name pronunciation. That's always a huge plus.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, getting students familiar with the classroom, having them move to their assigned seat, for example, or perhaps even just getting acclimated with the way to enter and exit through the classroom. I know that's a big push for a lot of teachers, especially at the early grade levels. So along with that, teachers will try and incorporate a fun way as sort of maybe a break for the students. So to really release some of that anxiety, and they try and use an icebreaker in order to make sure the students have a little bit of fun. And we're here to say that sure, that's a great way to have a little fun in the classroom, to be a little silly, and to incorporate another element to the first few days of school. But there are so many better ways to go about completing that same goal of getting to know your students and having your students get to know each other.
I think that you brought up two really important points. The first is that when teachers are doing the icebreakers that we mentioned that we didn't particularly enjoy as students, they are doing it from a good place. They're trying to make sure that they are being considerate of their students' feelings, whether that is making sure that students feel like they are welcome in the classroom because their name is being pronounced correctly, because it's not just the teacher kind of stumbling through the roster, which I know I hate about first days of school. And I do think that the other point that you made is that it is a really high anxiety time for both teachers and students. I think a lot of us go into the first day of school kind of nervous because we don't know what to expect either. But students, there's a lot for them to try to adjust to as well. So when you make them do the typical icebreaker where they're going around the room and everybody has to talk, now you're just heightening that anxiety for a lot of them.
And along with that heightened anxiety, there is usually a lot of other things that happen with that as well. A lot of the time, the icebreaker takes way too much classroom time.
It ends up
taking almost the entire class period. And what have you really accomplished aside from maybe a few key 10 students really involved in the class icebreaker activity while the rest are on the sidelines sort of rolling their eyes?
Yes.
You know, you want to make sure that it's a great use of time. And we're going to get to that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Even with the best intentions, that type of icebreaker is something that just doesn't work. How many names could you possibly remember? whether you're a teacher or one of the peers. So if we want to avoid these common mistakes for icebreakers, what are some criteria for some good icebreaker activities?
So first, we want to make sure that students can access and complete the activity in its entirety. With that in mind, the first few days of school, I know at our school, we have an abbreviated schedule where we try and accomplish other things during the day where we don't get to see our students for the entire length of a traditional class period. So being able to really grasp that and understand, okay, I have 32 minutes to accomplish this task. What can I prepare? So along with that goes students coming into school thinking, hey, it's an abbreviated schedule. I'm not going to be doing anything. And guess what? I'm not going to bring a backpack. I'm not going to bring my pencils. I'm not going to bring anything that will allow for me to really do any real work today. Mm-hmm. So I think understanding those two key components are huge for teachers to understand.
Without a doubt, there's nothing worse than if you have a great first day's lesson planned. Like, you are so excited. You've done all the legwork. You know this is going to be really successful, but it requires all the students to write and nobody has anything to write on or to write with. That is a surefire way to start things off on the wrong foot, because you as the teacher feel defensive and unprepared and you don't know what to substitute in. And you feel a little defeated because you really wanted to make sure that you had that great first day with them. One of the things that I've done, especially with the short, short days, sometimes all the school is really looking for is to make sure that everybody has gone to their classrooms and they know, like, what period they're supposed to be where. So sometimes you might have as little as, like, 5, 8, or 10 minutes with the students who definitely didn't show up with supplies. And then I think using an activity like the Four Corners is a really, really good one. Have you ever done that?
I have, yeah. That's a great way to get students moving, to get them feeling acclimated with the space, and to get them feeling like, I don't actually have to complete a written task at this time, you know, taking the pressure off in that way. We talked about the anxiety of the first few days of school for really any grade level. And it also takes some of the anxiety off of you as the teacher. It allows you to interact with students in a way that's more personal, and you can get to know them in small ways. But I think that having something that's realistic for the time frame is a great way to really make the best use of that particular day.
And that Four Corner activity, one of the things that I really like is that students, depending on how you set it up, don't necessarily need to speak, but they can see other people who identify in the same way they do, whether it's about genres that they like or things of that nature. They can be like, oh, yeah, maybe I could be friends with that person. A really good way that kind of keeps everything at low stakes, but still gets them learning a little bit about each other, even if it's not necessarily somebody's name.
I've actually done that in my classroom as a high school Spanish teacher, where I will actually post, or I'll actually hold over my head large questions or different sports teams or foods in Spanish, where I understand that a lot of these students don't have that background knowledge to know what these things are in the target language, but it gets them communicating with each other to try and deduce what it is that I'm expressing and get them to move around. So having them sort of own the task a little bit more, I think, is a great way for them to get to know each other in a way that's a little bit less anxiety induced.
I think it's so perfect that you're talking about how that functions in the language classroom, because trying to figure out vocabulary context is something that happens regularly in that classroom. It might happen in a reading passage, not in this kind of icebreaker activity, but it's still getting to the subject activity in some capacity.
And keeping it relevant is going along just with that. So an icebreaker that calls on students to do a silly activity is fun, sure. But we want to make sure that we create that curricular connection. So finding something that's relevant for students, like we mentioned, having a 5 or 10 minute class period isn't going to be a true reflection of how you are as a teacher or how your classroom might run. But finding a way to incorporate a mini lesson or even an abbreviated typical classroom experience allows for students to get a real sense of the expectation and, again, setting the tone as the teacher.
really nice. And I enjoy the concept of having that first day, if at all possible, mimic the structure of your typical lessons. So even in our example of doing something like the Four Corners activity, if one of the things you always do in your classroom is you post a do now or warm up or whatever you want to call it, and it's always in the same place on the board, have the instructions for that or how to get ready for that activity written out there. So that way when students enter the classroom and they take a seat, you can direct them to, now you know you're always going to look at the board on the right-hand side of the classroom for that particular procedure. Sometimes other students will actually point that out to the rest of their peers if you don't give explicit instructions about it. And again, you're getting them to engage and you're getting them used to your classroom setup a little bit without having to take things maybe overly seriously the first day.
And along with that, if you have a classroom procedure that is really essential to making your classroom run smoothly, or it's something that you'd like to incorporate weekly or daily, introducing that as a classroom procedure can be kind of just not really engaging for students. Sure, they might pick it up and they might resonate with them in some capacity, but giving them the opportunity to really learn about that classroom procedure, or introducing it to your students in a way that is familiar to them in a lesson format, sometimes will bring about some more connection for them and allow them to really take more ownership of it. I know in my classroom, I like to introduce what we do every Friday. We create small student presentations that students put together during a series of weeks, and on Fridays we have about 5 minutes to spend where students get to present on this topic. So rather than just handing out papers explaining this topic or explaining this activity that we're going to be doing for the rest of the school year and having it as sort of a me droning on about this project, instead if I introduce it in a way that's more compelling in a visual representation or in a way that almost mimics a lesson, I think is a much better way to get students to buy into that activity and helps them take, I guess, more away from it than they would if they just had a handout to take home.
Yeah, if all you're doing on the first day is reading the syllabus at them, they're probably not even going to absorb half of the procedures or policies that you even wanted them to pick up on in the first place. They're going to get more out of experiencing the actual what you want the classroom atmosphere to look like rather than hearing about what the classroom atmosphere needs to look like.
So we have a couple of pretty killer ideas for you of how we can incorporate icebreaker activities that really engage the students in interacting with each other, interacting with you as the teacher, and trying to incorporate maybe some more real life skills rather than something as simple as tell me two truths and a lie. So
right.
Why don't you introduce us to the first one, Danielle?
So one of the first day of school ideas that I have used in both an ESL classroom and in a high school ELA classroom is borrowed heavily from game show style segments that you might see on something like Buzzer or one of those networks. I know some teachers like to give a little bit of information about themselves early on in the school year. They might talk a little bit about their family lives or things like that. I tend to shy away from those kind of things, but I let them know about things that I am a total nerd about, and one of those things would be classic game shows. So because I really love classic game shows, and this works really well for ESL students because you do have that cultural component, is I'll show them a clip of something like Family Feud or Card Sharks, where the format is that the host says, we surveyed 100 people about a particular question, and then the contestant has to guess either the top answer for that particular question, or they have to guess how many people would have agreed with them. The way I like to make this relevant for my classroom is I'll make sure that that relates back to something that we're going to cover in our classroom, and the people that I am polling, instead of surveying 100 people, are going to be the actual kids in our classroom.
I love that.
Yeah. And the kids do too. They kind of like pick up on what you're doing and they're like looking around and they get really competitive with it because they always do with games. So all
And they recognized you as an experienced teacher. So the fact that you've surveyed 63 ninth graders, they're like, okay, yes, she did.
And so I'll say something like, I asked 27th ninth graders here at whatever the name of our school is about poetry, how many of them said they enjoyed writing poetry. And you'll watch everybody like look around the room and investigate. They'll write down their number. And then you'll actually have students raise their hands to indicate how many of the people in that room would give the affirmative yes to that particular statement. This is similar to that Four Corners game in that they get to identify who has the same interest as them without having to go around the room in like a blind dating kind of way, or they don't have to have maybe entire conversations with people that they wouldn't, but maybe it just piques their interest a little bit and they realize, oh, that is somebody I might end up working with well throughout the year.
I really love this activity because, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of students will come into school not having access to regular school supplies just mm-hmm. based on the schedule and the different schedules of the week. And yeah. So having something, of course, we love technology and we'll talk all about that. Don't you worry. But this particular activity allows students to be engaged and they don't have to use any particular supply. So
yeah.
I think it really, you can accommodate any number of students and mm-hmm. any real level here. I think that right. really makes a huge difference.
And if you do want to make it more like Family Feud style, which will get more students interacting with each other and they have to brainstorm the top three that their classmates have said, now you've got them working together in small groups, still related to something that makes sense with that subject discipline. And those groups can be random. I don't usually let them pick their groups because they'll only be with their friends, but at least now they've had a few interactions with that particular person, and so maybe they'll feel more comfortable sitting next to them throughout the year, and they'll be more open when they're doing like a think, pair, share or some type of activity like that to speak to that person again. And again, they get really competitive, so that's always just a bonus.
I think that's awesome. And I bet students really respond well to that. Working together in a way that isn't so personal, I think yeah. that's huge, right? It's
yes.
not like, well, where do you shop? Or what's
right.
the summertime vacation that you went on? Sometimes that can be a little too personal for students. They don't feel comfortable yeah. sharing that kind of information with a complete stranger. So
yeah.
I think that's really huge. I love that you're able to incorporate your high school English class content into an icebreaker activity. That's awesome.
And if you've got students that are ninth graders, for example, a lot of them won't know each other at all going into the year. So they don't have cliques that are already established. That idea of sharing something that seems too personal for them to want to give that kind of information to the whole class, take that out. And if you do have a term like genre, for example, it's possible that not every student in your class is going to know what that word is. You being able to find that out by listening into these small conversations gives you a good understanding of where your students are coming from, especially if they're new to the district or new to the school. And it will also give you the opportunity to find out who does know those things and how they end up sharing that information with their peers.
During the first few days of school, if you're able to encourage students to move around the room and to organize their seats in a way that's conducive to a team-like structure, is a really great way to set that objective and that tone really early on. So when it comes time to work on a group activity or do something that involves groupthink, it's already something that they're comfortable with, something they've done before with a complete stranger, possibly.
And it is possible to have your first day of school icebreaker, especially if you have a longer time, produce some sort of work that could be displayed for the students in that class or might be good enough to be displayed for when parents come for back to school night.
That's such a great point. And it actually brings us into our second killer icebreaker activity, which is where we're going to discuss Time's Person of the Year. So I think personally, this works really well if you have a little bit of an extended period. Perhaps you have block scheduling. This is a great way to get students talking and to get them discussing something that, again, isn't super personal, but allows them to really open up a conversation. So how it works, As a teacher, you distribute the plain sheets of paper or a Time Magazine cover template, which you can print out and just have it on copy paper. And depending on the time, of course, you'd start the lesson with a discussion about the tradition of selecting Time's Person of the Year, or by discussing an individual that received this accolade as it relates to your discipline. So it can range, and it can be something that maybe even relates to the area in which you live. That could be a great way to get students talking as well. So considering maybe introducing a video or a reading prompt to go along with this could be another way to extend this activity longer if you have more time. But after you get through that initial introductory part, telling the students that, whoa, in the year 2040, or any other year that you'd like, they've been selected for the Person of the Year. So they have to design the cover art that would go with their feature and draft the story that goes inside the magazine. So they get to write on the back of the cover. Of course, you want to remind them that the cover does not need to be an image of the student, right? You can instead perhaps draw a stick figure or maybe another representation of that person, and that the achievement that you showcase should showcase their interest and the professional goals for the future. So get students talking, get them looking at the future, right? Thinking about what it is that connects them to perhaps that subject area or even what their future goals are, even as perhaps a high school freshman. So depending on the class, you may even want to have one of your students interview each other and then design the cover art and the story for their partner instead. That could be a cool twist, getting people to really discuss this concept without putting so much pressure on the student to represent themselves in a way that is really, truly, this is my essence. I am, I will be this person. This will be my accomplishment. This will be my future. It's a great way to get students talking, getting to know each other.
I used this activity over the summer when I was teaching high school students who were enrolled in an advanced ESL class. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this as a twist on the traditional icebreaker, I'm working with advanced students. They have done all of those icebreakers before. Mm. A lot, especially if you're talking about like the language classroom, a lot of those regular icebreakers feel a little bit trite, a little bit cliche, and they're over it. And this is something that was a surprise to them. And we did have a long chunk of time. We had a 90-minute session in order to do this. So I wanted to make sure that I was able to see multiple skills. So I was able to assess their reading. I was able to assess their listening by taking different multimedia for the history of the Time Magazine's Person of the Year, so that way I could make sure that they were placed in the proper class. And what did kind of surprise me is that when I told them that they were going to be declared the Time Person of the Year, a lot of them kind of said, really? Like me? And I was like, of course you. And I think having that kind of positivity imbued right from the beginning, when they don't know me, this is our first interaction, and I already have this kind of faith in them that they are going to be that amazing at whatever they do, I think really gave them confidence right off the bat. Even if you don't have students interview each other, a lot of them will look at what the person next to them is doing, and they just want to know. the curiosity has been piqued, and they are ready to discuss. And because it is not something that's like super labor intensive or super time intensive, I do like to let them talk and share about what they're working on. And if students are stuck, hearing from other people what they're doing is really, really useful. You will have students, like you mentioned, who object right from the very beginning because they're not an artist, so they don't want to draw themselves. And I show them some pictures of Time covers for Person of the Year, and it's a computer or it's something else, so it doesn't have to be a self-portrait by any stretch.
So true. I really love that. I've actually used this same model in my classroom, but I didn't use it as an icebreaker. I used it as an extension activity for vocabulary that I was teaching related to personality traits. I had students write a Time Person of the Year speech where they were able to address the audience and talk about the skills that they have and the personality traits that allowed them to get this far. But I think that it actually could be kind of cool to incorporate that same message of writing the speech and doing that maybe towards the end of the year, having the Times Person of the Year as the intro icebreaker activity. I love maybe making that connection. That could be really great.
I think that that's great. And the concept here is just to get your wheels turning about how icebreakers don't have to be the stereotypical icebreakers. These, I think, are a little bit outside of the box from what is usually found in terms of classroom icebreaker activities. It is certainly not the be-all and end-all, but these are ones that have been successful in the past that if you can put your own spin on them or they get you thinking about some other way that it can apply specifically to your classroom, that works.
Completely agreed. And, you know, the goal here is the same as a traditional icebreaker. Get to know your students, get your students feeling comfortable, get your students talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And if we're able to accomplish that in your classroom in a way that you think really works, we'd love to hear from you. So if you'd like to reach out to us on our website, we have a special page for you to write in and to respond with the idea and the activity that works really well in your classroom. We'd love to feature you on a future podcast episode and to share your idea with our listeners.
Even if it's not a first day of school idea.
Getting your students involved is all we want. We want students to feel engaged with each other and with the content in their space.
And that's it for today.
Good luck and no more human knots.
No more human nuts. Until next time. If you'd like to learn more about us and the services that we offer, head to everything.com.